order the February 10th, 2015 meeting of the City of Aiken Planning Commission. Our first order of business this evening will be the approval of the January 13th minutes of the work session and the regular meeting. Are there any questions, changes, or additions to the minutes?
Madam Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes as written.
Okay. All in favor? Okay. Thank you. All right. Our first order of business this evening is the application for modification to access requirement, item 3A in your agenda packets. The applicant is Michael Calhoun. Do we have anyone who would like to speak in favor? All right, if you will come down. And Mr. Calhoun, our policy is if we get up here, if you'll state your name and address for the record, and then you may give us whatever information you'd like.
All right. My name is Mike Calhoun. I reside at 225 Magnolia Lake Road in Aiken, South Carolina. I've had this property under contract now for about 8 months or so and taking it through the different processes. And I was sort of, I was not led to believe it. We thought it would be easy. There's a parcel, there's a triangle that's not owned by the present property owner. And he entered into an access agreement, annexation agreement with the city. And they put an obligation that said that the property could only have one entrance point, and that entrance point had to be at a specific point, and that point they don't own. Neither party, they put an obligation on a piece of property they don't own. And we've spent since October trying to find an heir to that property to transfer it. And even though it's been separated out, it's shown on the county tax map, it's never been taxed. So it goes back to prior to Town Creek Road existing. So we're having a hard time finding a way to get ownership of that. And so right now, based on the annexation agreement, there's no legal access to this property. And so I called DOT, South Carolina, and they are considering abandoning the property because they need some frontage there. But they said they can't do anything. They said if they were to go down that road, that they can't transfer property or do anything until the Silver Bluff project is completed in its entirety, which is until the end of 2015. So it just becomes an undevelopable piece of property for the next year. So I'm trying to move forward and do something there. And I can't buy it because I don't have legal access. Can't access the property as it is. That's the reason I'm asking for the waiver of the change. I hope that made sense.
Well, it is rather unusual situation, isn't it?
Yeah, we had no idea it'd be this difficult to find an heir.
Well, you know, obviously there is a way to clear title of this property, but it would involve a lawsuit. You would have to bring an action, or whoever the quote owner of the property is now. I don't know whether it's you or Rusty Finley.
I can't. I'm not going to buy property that you have access to.
Yeah, but there is a way to do it. It would require a lawsuit. You would have to go back and look up these two women and see if they had any heirs on the records. If they didn't have any heirs on the records, you would have to bring a John Doe, Richard Roe action, which, you know what I mean, John Doe, Richard Roe covers everybody who could theoretically possibly be an heir.
Right.
It can be done.
That's sort of he's had his attorney involved in it.
Right.
I said, if you clear the property up, I won't buy it.
Right.
But right now, it's I mean, it's my problem because I want to buy it.
And what you're saying is that you can't, you have legal access to the property, but you're running up against this ordinance that says it has to be off directly across from Seven Oaks.
Yeah, and he can't transfer that property.
Right, that little tiny triangle is right in front of Seven Oaks across the street, across Silver Bluff.
It's like you couldn't have designed it to be in the way any better.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It's weird how that happened, so.
So you want an access, well, what do you want, what do you want?
I just want to move it over, you know, just, no, I'd like it to be, so I don't have to, no, obviously I wouldn't want to go towards the intersection, I'd want to go the other direction. And I'd like to come off that, you know, right now, I have plat approval, which is sort of what you're looking at on one of those pages.
Right.
But the county, yeah, that's not, that's the wrong picture.
All right, which one? Oh, the next?
The next one shows, the next one shows a final plat approval. See, that's a final plat approval, but the county would not record it because of this issue. Because of that little triangle. So I wanted to move it just outside of that triangle.
Back away from Silver Bluff.
Away from Silver Bluff.
Could you actually walk, can we go back to the color photograph, have you walk over there and actually point and show us exactly where you were talking about? So there's no question in my mind.
What you're looking at, there's a 60-foot, the grid is black property, you have that access to 60 feet, so I need to come outside of that red mark. So I just want to come over here. At least 100 to 125 feet off of this property line. Because then this property line, they're going to want to have access to it. So I want to be far enough away.
So it's approximately the middle.
About the middle. I would just like, if I put a road in there, I'd like to be able to put houses on both sides of the road. If I'm forced to go too far, and I only have less than 100 feet, it's hard to get a lot, because a lot requires, you know, 60 feet by 100 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make the numbers work if you're only... You know, if you can't have lots on both sides of the road.
So, in the interim, should something happen and the property get cleared before you actually start? So, were you to receive the go-ahead that it's okay to build the road somewhere else? However, but in the interim, should that property get cleared, there's the possibility you may put it back where it was originally suggested, or?
The only way it can get cleared is if the present owner enters a lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
or, which, if he was going to enter a lawsuit, he probably would have done it.
He probably already have done it.
He would have done it, so he doesn't want to spend the money doing that. So DOT, most likely, because they're looking for this access, is if they abandon it, then there's nobody gets access to it until Silver Bluff is built. Because once they enter, you know, once they're in process and they have remnant properties, left over, they can't do anything until after the project's completed. And I'd want to move faster than that, so I probably just won't buy the property because there's nothing I can do without moving it. The answer to your question is, if it changed, would I go there? Sure. The likelihood of that is very unlikely, because I probably would have closed on it already.
Right.
We would have solved it.
It's currently zoned RS6. Are your intentions after, if we approve this, would your intentions be to come back before the Planning Commission at a later date to try to change that from residential to something else?
No, actually, if you go to the other, if you can slide that up, no, the other way, that because of the widening of the road and there's only going to be increased traffic on Town Creek Road, is I just saw a better use for that frontage. It's like office use. If I put offices that sort of front on Town Creek, mm-hmm. with the parking behind it, actually that creates the best sound buffer you could have to all the residents. Because then I would have, you know, the 4 acres that's remaining behind would be residential, and then you have Jim Lakes. So I was just trying to do what I've been doing for 25 years.
But are you coming, planning on coming back at...
Yeah, I can't rezone part of a property. I had to create separate lots to be able to rezone it.
Yeah.
Let me just throw something out to you. Yeah.
I live back over there in Jim Lakes, and I've gotten on this, you know, when all those signs went up there on Town Creek, I got more calls on this than I've gotten on any issue we've had. And I'll tell you why. Because there's no light at all whatsoever on between Town Creek and Silver Bluff. That intersection, 100 feet from where you're talking about, is a nightmare now. And it's all caught up in this widening of Silver Bluff. Where are they going to widen it? They're going to three-lane it. They're going to four-lane it. The city council's involved in all that stuff in the highway department. There's going to be a lot of people that object to you putting offices in there where you're talking about, because that is going to increase the traffic on Silver Bluff. On Town Creek, feeding into Silver Bluff.
The annexation agreement requires that any access, which I'm moving it further away.
You're moving it further away from the intersection.
So to get to the offices, you're going to have to come through the property.
Correct. But if you put an office there with 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 100 cars a day, that is going to substantially increase the traffic on Town Creek, substantially cause even a bigger backup between Town Creek and Silver Bluff than there is now. If people are coming out, I'm just telling you.
There are people that won't worry about houses there because, you know, they're going to be housing. But if you put, it's going to dump a lot of traffic. I'm telling you, it's going to be some objections.
Yeah, man, it's.
I know what you're saying.
It's a wise thing to do.
not if you're sitting in behind 10 cars trying to get out on the Silver Bluff. Because Town Creek is a cut through. You know, Town Creek is a cut through from Pine Log to Silver Bluff. Everybody comes down Pine Log, hits Town Creek, goes around, cuts through, takes Silver Bluff. So they're going to have to do something with that intersection. Put a light there, turn lane, something. Because that is also a big traffic road.
Who's going to want to live in front of 100 cars, you know, all these cars that have backed up?
Commissioner Hunter, excuse me for just a moment, but that discussion is going to be more relevant on the rezoning.
It's certainly a part of moving it further back. The further back you get it, the better off you are.
I saw this as a sort of a plus, not really a negative. I believe things happen for a reason, and I mean, I've tried everything I can do. I mean, I was supposed to close, and I think I contracted back in March of last year. I've been going through this process. Was supposed to close in October, and I still haven't been able to close.
Yeah.
We're meeting with DOT actually tomorrow to find out exactly what they want to do.
Okay, so what is before us, though, is simply the modification to the access requirement as part of the original. Are there any other questions for Mr. Calhoun? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Okay, not hearing any. It's back to the commission for a motion. If someone speaks.
Madam Chairman, with respect to application number 15-91004, a modification to access requirement on tax parcel 106-18-19-003 and 106-18-19-004, the applicant being one Michael Calhoun, I move that we recommend this to City Council for approval because doing so would allow the further development of this property and will allow Mr. Calhoun to resurvey and relocate the access in order to serve the parcels which he chooses to develop.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
And what did the motion say about where it's going to be?
Further down, to relocate the access in order to serve.
Out. It's got to be. It's obviously got to be outside.
Outside of those, yeah.
This little red triangle.
Encumbered, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, outside of the encumbered area.
Outside of the encumbered area.
Is that giving you a pause?
No. No.
I'm just wondering, do you want to specify which direction?
Or away from.
Away, further, I'll just add that to the end, further away, allow him to create that.
To the west?
Access to the west.
Further from Silver Bluff.
Yes, to the west and further away from Silver Bluff.
Do you want to also add the fact that it's impossible to meet the original requirements based on the comment from the letter?
Didn't I say that about that? Property being encumbered?
Zoning ordinance.
No, but we can add that in.
Okay. All right. Well, we've made several amendments to this. So can we restate the policy, the motion, so that we can...
Do I have to say all the numbers here? With regards to that motion, I move that we recommend to City Council the approval of this application for modification to access requirement, because as the property stands, there is no way to satisfy the original requirements as set forth in the modification to annexation agreement. Therefore, an approval would allow Mr. Calhoun to resurvey the property, have it redone, and create an access drive further to the west of Silver Bluff Drive.
Okay. Now, is there still a second?
No, I will continue to second that.
All right. Okay. All right, then we'll call for the vote. All in favor? Okay. Well, Mr. Calhoun, this will now go to City Council. What's our next date on that?
23rd.
On the 23rd. You may want to be in attendance at that point. All right. Okay, now our final item, 3B, which is capital improvement program for the city. And yes, Mr. LeDuc, we'll ask you to come forward and answer some questions.
Should I state my name and the address?
For the record, you might. Okay. Let me go to the commissioners then. We have received the revisions recently. So let me go to the commissioners with questions for Mr. LeDuc.
Mr. LeDuc, I'll start. Roger, I'm sorry, but we'll start. I want to know, we have five items marked in the out of the general fund category under the capital improvement ranking system. And not that I'm concerned with the ranking of them, but of these five projects, I was wondering if you could give us, and I've marked them, just give us a brief overview of what that project is in just a few words, but then specifically where that funding is coming from, if there's any grant money that's being applied to this, or this is strictly, as indicated in our pink budget sheets, the money that's actually would be coming from the general fund.
Okay. Are we going to post it? I don't have that list.
I have it right here. Those five projects and then the pink sheets. Do you have those, Tony, as well?
Which pink sheet? Do
you have those? Out of general.
Okay. The capital improvement ranking, is that what you're talking about?
Giving them that one and then the...
I have that.
Okay.
Talking
about the priorities.
You want to watch that. That's fine. Okay.
The five projects that I see you checked off is the Terminal Apron Expansion. That is a grant from the Federal Highway Department. I believe that's for $194,000 plus. 90% of it would come from the Federal Aviation, and 5% from the state, and then the other 5% from the city. So our share is $9,000 plus.
Excellent.
The second project is the taxiway rehabilitation and fencing. Again, that's further down the list. We would not be doing that project again unless we had the federal dollars, and again, it's a 90-10 grant. The 10%, 5% is generally city, and 5% is the state. I'm just looking at all these here, and they're all, instead of just repeating myself, they're all would be city with the 5% share if we get the grant from the Federal Commission. The only one that's an exception would be the fuel farm. That is right now on the FBO property, the fixed-based operator who runs the airport. And if there's going to be changes to the fuel system, we are right now looking at changing our memorandum of agreement with them, which will have a higher flow fee that they'll be paying, a fuel fee, which would help pay for some of that improvements. None of the money, we have always tried not to spend any general fund money on the airport. And the way we pay for any improvements, that 5%, it comes from the sale of property at Marines and Ventures Park. It came from years past from timbering that we did out in the area. And third comes from yearly revenue that we receive from the fixed-based operator, which right now we have a 5% or 5-cent fee on every gallon of fuel that's sold out there. And then they also pay us for some of the concessions and other things that they provide through hangars.
So the project specifically, there was a one on the runways, it was actually the parking area, and that's what question came up to us last month, and we were unsure of, because the fact that it was a small piece of asphalt that was being wanted to be added so that there could be additional private jet parking during peak times of the year, specifically the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make sure that that was, in fact, that all of those were 90.
On that particular piece there were the third runway, which is not used currently as a runway. They generally use it during Masters time for parking of extra planes that come out there. Again, that has not been approved because we do not have the funding source, and we're developing this in the agreement that we're trying to put together.
Okay.
And it'll go to council, and then they'll be approving it.
Okay. So the one point, the 1.7 million that was actually budgeted for this year, plus the, it was almost 5 million, I think, over 2 years. That's just kind of sitting still right now until next year.
Well, in fact, as you were meeting on the other issue, I was looking at that agreement. It's an engineering agreement that we have right now.
Yes, sir.
It'll take, once that's signed, probably 6 to 9 months. We'll submit it to FAA. There may be a possibility that during this next fiscal year that we'll start that project. But the way in dealing with the federal government and with the state government, that is always subject to additional scrutiny by them.
Okay.
And I think a Silver Bluff Road that you mentioned earlier, we started talking about that in 2005. 10 years later, they're just right now purchasing the right-of-way that's necessary for the widening. Very slow.
So there's no project out there at the airport that the city would pay more than 5% match in the total overall expenses? Yes.
For instance, like the crack ceiling that we have listed as number one project,
yes, sir.
Most of that funding will come from the state.
Okay.
While you're on the subject of the airport, the item number 36 under there was the fuel farm.
Okay.
Are we planning, are you going to leave the old one intact? Are you going to decommission it and dig it?
Right now it's above ground.
Okay.
And
we have not gotten into even the preliminary engineering as to where and how would we be constructed. But again, at this point in time, we'd probably still be above ground. But that is a project that's 1, 2, 3, 4 years down the road. We don't have the funding for it, but it's on the master plan of things that they would like to do.
So you're going to continue to keep it above ground then? I was just thinking that from the standpoint of pollution and, you know, these things leak when they get in the ground. You have...
Correct. Which is why we kept the other one above ground.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Okay. All right. Another question was on the revision for the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. It looks like the Aiken County Farmers Market restrooms was removed. Does that mean they're not going to happen, or does that mean another funding source was obtained?
They had that listed. I had them talk to the county. It's an Aiken County Farmers Market, not a city of Aiken. And we have in the past had a 50-50 share on any project, and they were not interested in sharing the cost. So we removed it.
I was hoping they would assume it.
You could always hope.
We just have to be careful when we go to the farmers market. Okay. All right. Okay. Another question. Now we had just for clarification under engineering utilities, roadways, and engineering utilities, utilities. Okay, the alley renovation is still there, and it's number one priority.
That is correct.
But the alley utility renovation under utilities has been removed. Can you help?
I thought it was still in here.
No, it's gone.
Okay. Whether it's in here or it's gone, we still plan on replacing the water and the sewer lines in the alley. So right now the intent is to dig up the alley entirely so that we could put the proper conduit in the ground for the underground of the waters. While we're digging this up, we will go ahead and replace the sewer lines that are down there, probably 40 to 50 years old. Mm-hmm. Replace the water lines. We have no idea how old they are. I've been with the city for 30 years, and it's been at least 30 years. So you can imagine that some of these are galvanized pipes. The sewer line was probably clay or terracotta. We did go ahead and TV the sewer lines, and they need to be replaced. So that's why we said if we're going to go down in a trench 6 to 8 feet, it's got to be wide enough to get your trench box in there. We might as well go ahead and do everything at one time. Well, so that's going to be part of that $1.2 million, even though I thought it was a separate line item the last time I had looked.
Okay, well, it was. It was $170,007.
But it is going to be replaced, all the water and
sewer. I thought it would make sense to do that altogether. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that cost is out, and you think we can do the whole thing for the $1.2
million? The $1,255,000 is a rough estimate.
So that's going to be important.
We are getting in proposals currently from engineers to go ahead and start the design process. We hope that at the end of March or the first meeting in April, we'll go to council with a selection of our engineer. We're hoping that they can get the plans completed sometime by September, October, so that we can go ahead and start some of this work before the Christmas season begins.
What's the estimated time?
Great question. Right now, we need to keep every store open. Mm-hmm. We can't close a store. It may be closed temporarily for half an hour or an hour, but as we move with that trench box through the alley, the idea this year is to get all the underground stuff completed. We believe we're probably not going to have enough time to do the surface or the aesthetical part, the lighting, the trees, the arbors, things of that nature. We may be able to get that done, but again, it all depends on how quickly the engineers can get their work done, how quickly they go to bid, Once we get the prices back, then there's the bonds, the insurance, and all the other things that go into that before you can even start construction. And we know that come, say, mid-November, you want to open up the alley entirely back up to operation with the Christmas season coming. Then around January, anything that needs to be completed, we've got January, February, part of March before the Triple Crown hit. So we want to be able to control it, to be able to tell the developer, we need to keep everything open. There might be times of the day or week that will even say you can't open till 10 or you have to quit by 2, depending on what's going on in the alley that weekend or that particular day. It's a complicated project.
Oh, yeah.
And the number one thing is being able to work with businesses. We don't want to get done and find out half the businesses closed because people just can't get to their business. And we've got a hair salon over here and a couple other ones that get real excited if their folks can't get to where they need to go.
Well, most of those businesses are, I'm sure all of them, except maybe the ADDA office, is going to be dependent on water. So as you're replacing those water lines in there, that's going to be a real
correct. We can't take out the old water lines until the new ones go in there.
Exactly.
They have to be tested by DHEC. And so from the time you actually complete the water line to the time that you feed them back into the system, we're talking about a couple of weeks, but it's going to take a while.
Now, is that 1.2 based on projected contractor fees, or is a lot of that work being done in-house?
It's going to be all contracted out.
All contracted out.
The money for that will be coming almost entirely from capital project sales tax.
Yes.
Most of it from the underground wiring.
And there's some SCEG funding.
Yeah, SCEG will pay for 50% of it. But again, that's all in this cost here. So we've got SCEG, we've got capital project sales tax.
Okay. And the last question I have is about the under the municipal building. Last year, we had almost the same amount of money for renovating it for potential conference center use. And then the first one of these we got was the same amount, and it was for $10,000 less for the renovation to accommodate the PAC office and the city solicitor. And now I see it's been adjusted to have improvements to the administration and the finance building. Can you help us understand, you know, how many people will be moving into this building and what the renovations are? And it sounds pretty costly.
It's that project's in a somewhat of a flux also. A couple years ago, the thought was that they were going to enlarge the downstairs area into a much larger conference space. Council decided this fall that let's keep it basically the way it is, and so our money has been going into, we probably don't need the building, we'll call the Brinkley property because that's old bicycle shop, and to allow then, if we could move everybody out of that building, which is the PAC office, which generally has Emery, it has Cynthia in there, and a couple other individuals, they will be moving downstairs along with our attorney and the paralegal. They're almost completed with all the renovations that are necessary downstairs. So they were showing over $1 million still to be spent. We're not going to spend $1 million this next year. We're going to do a few more things in the kitchen. We'll probably get all new conference chairs down there. Some money will be spent on the new finance and administration building, and then the rest of the money will be there available to possibly do other things in the future. So that's why you don't see as much money being spent in this next fiscal year as you once did. And I don't know if that answers your question or not.
It does. What would we do with the Brinkley building then?
Okay. The building that's there right now, we could either A, tear it down and just have it as a big open area. We have renderings of what a new three-story building would look like there. Council is debating whether or not to go forward with trying to sell the property. We've had one offer already. They declined that offer. And so at the point we're at right now, Council has said, let's sit on it for a little while. We think that it will only be enhanced when the alley work gets completed and is worked on. And at that time, it might be the time to do it. We're also working on a couple other potential projects in the downtown I can't discuss that might change some of our direction.
Roger, you said that Council had an offer on that property?
Yes, we did.
Do you mind me asking, was it for fair market value, and can I ask what they wanted to put in there?
Certainly you could ask, but I can't tell you.
I understand.
Can I rephrase the question? Has the city, and I'm sure in your due diligence, have you had the property appraised so that you know what the value of the property would be?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
And it was appraised at around $250,000.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well,
that's public record, so I could divulge that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And the original purchase price to the city for that?
It was over $900,000.
$980,000, wasn't it?
I don't think it was quite that high, but it was over 900.
Wow, that's depreciation then, isn't it?
Depreciation.
Nobody really appreciates that.
Okay. All right, so this year then, all of these, and then there's some more work that you're planning to do in the administration building, the old back
yes.
building, I guess, is what, and all that total for this year then is going to be $400,000, is what
probably
you're estimating?
We have to put enough down. I'm thinking it's probably going to be less than $100,000.
Okay.
We want to redo the lobby over at the new building. We need to change some security locks to allow people to walk upstairs unimpeded by just not being able to get there. We're working right now on the solution of how to do that with the elevators. They can go upstairs but not downstairs, which has some things we can't allow people to get. There's no offices downstairs. So we're getting the prices on that. We're talking to different decorators as to how to make the lobby when you walk in there feel like you're in Aiken. We'll probably be getting rid of the engine that's in the middle of the lobby so it looks more like Aiken.
Okay.
And then, like I said, in this building here, we should finish most of the work this year. There's a debate. The building that we're currently occupying is full. We don't have any more space there. So they just authorized a new risk manager. There's no space over there, so that person's going to come over here. There's some discussion. Should the mayor be in that building? Should the mayor be in this building? Where should the mayor should be? It was up to me and I was going to stay. I'd say I'd much rather come back to this building. To me, it's just more welcoming. But again, that's going to be up to the next city manager and city council. So that's why we don't know what the total cost would be, but I think it's going to be far less.
It would be significantly less, it sounds like. Okay. Now, if I can ask you one more question to try to understand the funding sources, that would leave then a significant balance in this proposed amount. Can that money be reallocated to some other projects that were eliminated?
The way the law reads concerning funding, we have sales tax 2 that was passed in 2004, and then we had sales tax 3 that was passed in 2010. The way that we're looking at it is any money that was brought in could be reallocated for those projects in 2004. Any money that's being brought in from revenue in 2010 could be used for those projects in 2010.
Right.
To take money from project sales tax 3 and move into 2 or 2 to 3, we don't feel like that would be counted.
I don't think you
could. Well, you possibly could, but we don't want to.
It's probably not appropriate.
So we are right now at the next council meeting going to be giving council a repurposing of some of the allocation of the funds in sales tax 3 and sales tax 2.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Thank you. All right, commissioners, anyone else have any other questions? See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Well, that's why I didn't have the whole staff come here and then...
Right, it's... Okay. All right, not having any more questions, it'll be back to the commission for a motion. And I will remind you, commissioners, that the motion is either to accept, to recommend accepting or rejecting the budget, but it has to be in its entirety.
Well, Madam Chairman, I would move that we accept. Now, you're calling it a budget. I'm going to refer to it as the capital improvements
program. Capital improvements program, yes.
That we accept the capital improvements program for July 1, 2015 through June the 30th, 2020, in compliance with Section 2-140 of the City Code, requiring us to submit annually recommendation.
I second.
Okay. All right. All those in favor? Okay. Thank you. All right. There being no further business before us, this meeting is adjourned.